Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA, EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
So, I'm sorry, the microphone was turned down here. So, let's try that again. Hold on. Jim Polsley here. All right, welcome to Safety Wars for Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. Yes, it is live radio. I forgot to turn the microphone on. Anyway, a lot going on. Here, right? So, here we have some exciting news. Senate confirms Larry Chavez de Ramer as Labor Secretary. The Senate on Monday confirmed Representative Larry Chavez de Ramer, Republican of Oregon, I believe that's the 5th District, to lead the Department of Labor, cementing another of President Trump's nominees in bipartisan fashion. Senators voted 67 to 32, 17 Democrats voted with most Republicans present. Senators Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, and Ted Budd voted against her confirmation. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Democrat, did not vote. Now, for complete disclosure, and I, you know, before I saw nothing was coming over here. I got to be Senator Rand Paul, his father. I got to be one of his bodyguards at a political event. He was speaking for another Safety Wars, Safety FM guest, Murray Sabre. This is going back to 2009. Had to be 2000. And I tell you what, why is this relevant? Well, Jim, why are you telling us about Ron Paul? Ron Paul predicted all of the crap that's going on today, a lot of it here in the, right, what was going on with the economy and everything. His people, what was nice was I got to speak with Ron Paul's people, and they're the ones who told me, and I'm not going to take credit for it. They said, look, Jimmy, 2009, Ron Paul said this, look, 2009, no problem. no problem at all. We can fix all these economic problems. You just don't have the political will to do it. And they're going to be, well, they would be relatively easy to fix. He said, but the thing is, he said, as long as the establishment is making money, things are going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. But he said, once they stop making money, we're going to be in deep doo-doo. That's where he said, you know, it's going to be like getting a root canal without Novocaine eventually. And that's what we're going through now with all these debt loads here and everything that the president, whether rightly or wrongly, is doing, trying to do to straighten out the economy. And as the president said today, we're doing it the hard way for whatever reason. But anyway, it sucks. A lot of stuff going on out there with the economy. But anyway, good news is Lori Chavez de Ramer is there. Nothing much came out in as of the, let me check it. Labor press releases. Maybe something is there today. Checked it out earlier today. Nothing here. Okay, here it is. So, can I do a share screen? I apparently did change some of the settings here. We should be good on the audio on here. Lori Chavez de Ramer has sworn in as 30th U.S. Secretary of Labor after being confirmed by the U.S. Senate on a bipartisan vote of 67-32. And her saying, quote, "I am deeply grateful for this opportunity to continue serving my country, and I will work tirelessly to help President Trump put the American worker first. This administration has a clear mandate to renew the American dream for hardworking men and women across the country. As a small businesswoman and a daughter of a Teamster, I will act on my experience and work with business and labor to support good-paying jobs, grow our economy, and ensure every American enjoy a comfortable retirement. As we strive to create a new golden age of prosperity, I'm ready to team up with all those committed to fighting for the American worker. Together, under the leadership of President Trump, we'll make America work again." President Trump announced Secretary Chavez's DeRemer's nomination on November 22nd, 2024, noting that he looks forward to working with her to create a tremendous opportunity for American workers to expand training and apprenticeships and to grow wages and improve working conditions, bring back our American manufacturing jobs. That basically, a little bit of background on the newly minted secretary. Chavez de Ramer has dedicated over two decades of her life to public service, beginning in 2002 on the Happy Valley Parks Committee in Oregon. She later served on the Happy Valley City Council, became council president, and was then elected to two terms as the city's first Latina mayor. Under her leadership, Happy Valley became Oregon's fastest growing community due to initiatives that strengthened working families and small businesses. In 2022, Chavez de Ramer was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives by Oregon's 5th Congressional District, making history as the first Republican woman, one of the first Latinas elected to Congress from the state. She served on House committees on agriculture, education, and workforce, and transportation and infrastructure, championing common sense solutions, and securing critical investments for her constituents. Chavez de Ramer is a successful small businesswoman and the first in her family to graduate college, earning a business administration degree. She and her husband, Dr. Sean de Ramer, her high school sweetheart, founded an anesthesia management company and several medical clinics across the Pacific Northwest. A proud wife and mother of twin daughters, Chavez de Ramer is passionate about advocating for businesses, workers, and families across the country. Well, congratulations. I'll say this much. I look forward to being part of the discussion here with that and we could all be part of that discussion. That's the nice thing about podcasting. That's the nice thing about the internet. We can use it for positive. It's not only for negative. We can use it for be a positive change here. What I'm going to say is, regardless of what you think of the president or anything, I think if we could just be part of the discussion, part of the debate, take part in all this stuff is what I'm going to suggest everybody do. Just take part of it. Positive comments. And remember, the one that has the least to do with workers' safety is the Secretary of Labor. The one that has the least to do with safety is the head of OSHA. However, that looks like it's gonna go through sometime next week or so. The one who has the most to do with safety is you, working safe, and you as a safety professional and manager looking after your workers. That you have more to do with that than anything else. And that's what I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be a highfalutin politician or a bureaucrat or anything else to impact safety. Doesn't. As a matter of fact, they should be the least, that's the way it should be. They should have the least to do with that. Because what do they have? What do they have? They have a hammer. And when you have a hammer, everything is a nail. Right? So the saying goes. Everything's in there. So we're going to go right to commercial break here. And we'll get back to you.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. OSHA recordables,
here's Jessica.
Catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
And we are back. So, some grim news here. And it's really, you know, the reason why I'm reporting on this is every once in a while, I'll tune into InfoWars just to see what's going on. Sometimes they're absolutely 100% correct. Sometimes they're not. You know, sometimes murder is wrong. And so late last night, it came across the wire, or late yesterday afternoon, where a reporter from InfoWars, Jamie White, and rest in peace, Jamie, was murdered in, after working late night in on Saturday night. So he so it came out yesterday, basically Sunday, but however, no, they kept everything on the down low until they got more details on this. But basically, he was working late at the studio and was murdered with this. Now, not very good. Not very good here is that now you have a question. And I hope the police are very open and transparent with their investigation, because that is, when they are not, that is the stuff of conspiracy theories. So, according to Fox 7 Austin, there are 57 crimes reported at White's, and details are forthcoming on this, in 2024, including vehicle thefts, aggravated assaults, and one burglary. You know, basically, from what it looks like, he got out of his car and was killed. Now, here's a question for you. He was on the Wuvno list of Ukraine. And I'm not making a joke out of this. So my question is this. This is one of his tweets. Quote, "I'm on the Ukrainian enemies list in my work at InfoWars with Real Alex Jones on the Ukraine proxy war." So my question is this. Was he a target? Is this, a targeted hit? Don't know. Have targeted hits happened to terrorists in this country? The answer is yes. Absolutely. I can think of a couple. Now, there was another incident with InfoWars today, too. Is it related to Jamie's murder here? Right? InfoWars Chase Geisler, and this is off of InfoWars, was swatted on Tuesday, putting his family in danger as police officer received a fake report that someone breaking into his home was holding them hostage. This had a similar situation happened when I was living in White Plains when I first got married. I believe it was, I don't know if I was living there or married, I forget the whole thing, where a person was swatted and ended up dead right down the street from us there. And I don't know what the final disposition of the case was, but there was a lawsuit involved. So stuff like this can happen, and it can get killed, and it can lead to death. So this is nothing here. So the fake 911 call just came one day after InfoWars writer Jamie White was brutally killed. As Geiser noted in the replies to his post, he and White were both on the same Ukraine enemies list of the state list. While swatting seems unrelated to what happened to Jamie, but related to the fact we've been reporting on the list. I don't know. So we have a situation where two reporters from the same news organization, all right, two reporters from the same news organization, one was murdered on a Sunday morning, the other one was swatted on a Tuesday. Were they related or not? I have no idea. So I'm going to call on a federal investigation here for this. I know, and you say, well, Jim, your program of a small. Well, guess what? When I make the recommendations sometimes, like we just witnessed with the Secretary of Labor and the designee for the, who's going to head up OSHA, and a couple of other things that came up over the year where people are listening out there. Are they related or not? Is this a conspiracy? No, I don't know. But I think it's a fair question, something to think about. Now, onto something a little bit more tangible. Now, we're going to do a share screen here. This, the NTSB came out with a preliminary report The airline crash in Washington. Right. The information is preliminary and subject to change. Updated March 11, 2025. Read the investigation preliminary report. So we're going to click on that. Let's see where it takes us. So here we go. January 29th, about 2048. That's 1048 Eastern Standard Time. A Sikorsky operated by the U.S. Army under the call sign PAT-25 and an MIHI Mitsubishi Heavy Industries RJ Aviation, formerly known as a Bombardier, operated by PSA Airlines, blah, 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 and there was a crash. They collided. The two pilots, two flight attendants, and 60 passengers aboard the airplane and all three crew members aboard the helicopter were fatally injured. Both aircraft were destroyed as a result of the accident. Flight 5342 was operating under the provisions of the Title 14 CFR Part 121 as a scheduled domestic passenger flight from Wichita Dwight D. Eisenhower National Airport, Wichita, Kansas, to DCA. All right. PAT-25 originated from Davidson Army Airfield. That's a helicopter for the purposes of the pilot's annual standardization evaluation. The use of night vision goggles. Maybe they could have picked a better place than this, because if she failed, come on. Really? Really? They couldn't find another place to do this. Really? I don't know. There's a lot of things that go into an accident, as we're going to see here in a minute, but I just have to question. Night visual meteorological condition prevailed in the area of the DCA at the time of the incident, and they have a figure one. So you have PAT 25, which is the orange line coming through here. I'm describing it. It looks like it's coming from the north down the Potomac River, and flight 5342 is coming from the south. Right? The NTSB traveled to the accident area to study investigations, supervise water recovery operations. And they mentioned everybody else involved. So the crew experience. Reason why I am going through this. One, it's in the news. Number two is this. If you want to read how an accident report is written, this is the kind of stuff you need to look at. Even if it's for a small accident at work. When you go to court, they will, if God forbid, or if there's a big investigation, this is the kind of information they're going to be asking. And you basically have one shot, to go through this. And if you don't capture all this information at the time, as you go further and further and further away from the investigation, the harder it is to get information, to collect it. So, gotta be done. This crew experience. This is what I always put into the accident investigations. Who are they and how did they get the job? What are their qualifications for the job? Do they have any certifications? But Jim, what if the contractor, you're working with the GC, what if the contractor gets all lawyered up? Well, then it goes in the report, I had all of these questions, but they're not cooperating. Right? I might not list the question, but I was prevented from doing actual accident investigation to try to prevent another accident, to prevent or a learning team. I was prevented from doing that. So therefore, guess what? Now I'm covering myself as an employee and as a contractor, as a safety subcontractor. I'm hired to do an investigation. These people are not allowing me to do an investigation. Guess what? Problem. Both flight crew members of Flight 5342, both flight crew members of Flight 5342 were apparently qualified. The captain had accumulated 3,950 hours of flight experience, of which about 3,024 hours were in the airplane, make and model. Captain held an FAA first class medical certificate issued earlier this year. First officer had 2,469 total hours of flight experience, of which about 966 hours were on this type of plane. The FO held an FAA first class medical certificate issued on Halloween last year. The captain was, they don't say October 31st, but I'd say Halloween, right? The captain was a pilot flying, and the first officer was a pilot monitoring the entirety of the accident. Pat 25, the Army helicopter. The flight crew consists of an instructor pilot and a crew chief. According to the information provided by the U.S. Army, both pilots were current and qualified in the accident helicopter. The instructor pilot held the rank of Chief Warrant Officer 2 and had accumulated 968 total hours of flight experience. Note that they did not mention anyone's names in here yet, which 300 hours were in the helicopter make and model. The pilot held the rank of captain and had accumulated 450 hours of total flight experience. 326 hours were in the accident helicopter make and model. The crew chief held the rank of staff sergeant and had accumulated 1,149 total flight hours, all of which was on UH-60 helicopters. Now, page, right, history of the flight. They put on a timeline here. And again, this investigation is ongoing. And you can go look here, and the timeline has everything going on here. In depth and in detail. So, with that, and it goes on. I'm not going to read the whole timeline. Now, do you put together a timeline for your accident, everything leading up to the accident? That's part of it. And depending on the severity of the accident and what exactly is going on, you want to make sure that you put together as complete a timeline as possible. And you want to also include in there, what were the other things? What's the context of this? So, for example, I did an accident investigation a number of years ago, and the timeline actually expanded back 6 months prior to the accident. Now, Jim, what do you mean? Well, I asked for what the person's time cards were because I said, this might be a fatigue incident. We're going to need to rule this out. And my belief is that accident, you might say, well, this was like a chemical spill, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, but look at the fatigue thing. The person had not had a day off in 6 months. Oh, could that have contributed to the accident? Maybe, maybe not. At a minimum, you could say, well, why do you have people working for 6 months without a day off? Maybe you should take a look at that. With that, the guy worked like 10 days in a row. I think, no, it was more than that. It was like 15 days in a row the guy worked, which is exceeding the ANSI standard. And before that, he worked 10 days in a row. So this guy was like burned down end of the summer type of thing. Back in that day when I used to work those ridiculous hours, right? And I didn't have a family that I could. I was single. At the end of the summer, you're like, shit, I didn't do anything. No? With that. And there were other things in there, too. And they have flight recorders here talking about that. Operator and aircraft information. Talking all about the company and everything else that went on there. All about the air traffic controller and control. And other stuff here going on. They're talking about emergency response, the description of the airport, the type of marine water aircraft rescue and firefighting was notified about the incident. Then he went into the grim discovery of human remains, who did this, toxicology reports, and everything else with that. And the damage to the airplane, some pictures with that, so they can find out exactly how this thing crashed, exactly how what held up, what the good parts of the design were, what the bad parts of the design were. Right? Now, safety action. On January 31st, and this is what gets down to the end. This is what made the news. On January 31st, 2025, the FAA issued a notice to airmen, NOTAM, prohibiting helicopter traffic from operating over the Potomac River near DCA from the surface up to and including 18,000 feet, with exceptions for life-saving medical, active law enforcement, air defense, or presidential transport missions. If such missions are required, civilian aircraft will not be allowed in the area. The most recent version of the NOTAM was issued on February 19, 2025, with updated dimensions for temporary flight restriction. The NOTAM is in effect through March 31st. On March 11th, the NTSB issued two urgent safety recommendations to the FAA concerning the helicopter routes near the DCA. Now, what's our equivalent in private industry for this? Often, let's remember, OSHA has 6 months to complete a report, right? They do an investigation. As a employer, you have to declare whether this is recordable or not, which implies that the accident report or something has to be done within a week. But what happens is, my pet peeve is when we hear, I need to have the investigation complete by the end of the day, or else what? You might get one that makes sense if it's not at the end of the day. So what we try to do is issue a preliminary one. Well, this is what obvious happened. This might be what we do to change. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at another program. I'm putting together something with that right now to explain accident investigation and the modes of work and things of that nature. With that. And so that was basically it. The NTSB investigation is going on. And let's see some of the news reports on this. Hold on. Here, I had this all up and running here. Hang on. So what were the basic, right? They shut that off to civilian traffic. And with that. So that was basically it, okay, here is the NTSB urgent warning report. Here again, is this the same report? Existing separation distance, here it is. Between helicopter traffic operating on Route 4 and aircraft landing on runway 33 are insufficient and pose an intolerable risk to aviation safety by increasing chances of a mid-air collision. When Route 4 operations are prohibited, as recommended by Safety Recommendation A25-1, it is critical for public safety helicopter operations to have an alternate route for operating in and around Washington, D.C., that increasing controller workload. Recommendations: prohibit operations on helicopter Route 4 between Haynes Point and the Wilson Bridge when runways 15 and 33 are being used for departures and arrivals, respectively, and at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. Designate an alternative helicopter route that it can be used to facilitate travel between Haynes Point and Wilson Bridge when the segment of Route 4 is closed. Now, some of the fallout here, and we're going to go, we mentioned this slightly last week. This is from February 27, 2025, report on from NBC News. Pilot error played a role in the majority of high-profile plane crashes and close calls in the last few weeks. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said Thursday as he called for pilots to be serious consequences as they disregard air traffic controllers. Duffy said in an interview that pilots should lose their licenses if they do not follow instructions from air traffic controllers, which is what he said appeared to happen in the latest near collision Tuesday between a private jet and a Southwest Airlines plane in Chicago. No one was injured. A consequence-free space where you make errors, serious errors, and you don't pay any kind of price for it. Something's wrong with that. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Does that sound right if you're a human and organizational performance expert? Right? Oh, got the wrong date on that. Sorry. On that. That doesn't sound right. Right? That rubs me the wrong way. So here we have our little Jenga puzzle. Now, before you say, well, Jim, we're playing Jenga. If you're doing hop, you get it. So here we have this. Life is not a Jenga puzzle. Right? Life is not a Jenga puzzle. Well, what do you mean, Jim? Oh, we caught it. That was a near miss. Right? And I'm taking one block from the bottom, putting it on top. This is not Jenga. We're not playing Jenga. We're playing with people's lives. When you're playing Jenga, right, if you're familiar, you could Google what that game is. Take a block from the bottom, put it on top. Who's the one who loses the game? Come on. Who is it? The last person to place a block. But what about all the other blocks here? With that. Oh, well, what do you mean, Jim? What it comes down to what we start every safety meeting that we have, every safety training we have. What is safety? Is safety the absence of incidents or the presence of controls? According to news reports, there have been, and this is from The New York Times here. I got this story right here. Okay, so according to the New York Times here, we got an article here. A series of New York Times investigations in 2023 found an alarming pattern of close calls involving major airlines. Here are some of the key takeaways. The fiscal year that ended September 30th, 2023, there were 503 air traffic control lapses at the FAA, preliminarily categorized as significant, 65% more than the prior year. So this is what we have here, right? This is this report from the New York Times. It's from January 31st, 2025. And they're blaming, you know, shortage of air traffic controllers, lousy working conditions, under investigations, and technology. Okay, all fair in that. But the fact that you had this many near misses and no accidents, no major really accidents or anything, you know, crash or whatever, pretty good with the number of planes that you got flying there. So maybe this whole thing, you know, where everyone's pointing the fingers, this seems like to be a long-term problem, just like our Jenga thing. You blame is the person who started this or ended it that caused that to fall over with that. A lot going on. And the thing is what is safety? Safety is the presence of controls, not the absence of incidents. There are several thousand safety features on board that aircraft, the designers. There are, the FAA has multiple levels of controls in place to prevent accidents from happening. If you're like Sean Duffy here, oh, we got to follow blah, 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 and they don't follow the person's instructions, they got to be fired, blah, blah, blah. Really? Maybe if we do an investigation, we figure out why there's a near miss, and maybe a lot of these pilots, maybe we give them a medal because thank God they didn't crash. Things turn out okay. There was a mistake made without a problem, without consequence. Okay, well, now, what do? We got to learn from that, and we figure out what went wrong, and then we try to fix it. And I guess what? No, I'm sure that there have been cases right out there, and I know there were a couple of airlines over the years where the pilot wants to take everybody out, wants to commit suicide and take everybody out with them. We know that. That happens. Right? But I don't think that's the pilot's intention to crash a plane. I don't know. Not the air traffic controller's intention. They were going to crash a plane. How about we find out what the hell's going on before we start firing people? May feel good. Feels really good. I'm going to fire him. Really? Yeah, it feels good. But I don't know. My mama always told me, if it feels good, doesn't mean you have to do it, Jimmy. You know? Not all the time. It feels good to fire somebody. Right? And it's very easy for the people to go around talking tough. Oh, we got to fire him. Yeah, that's a tough talk. Tough talk. We got to fire everybody. We got to do this. Why don't you do an investigation here? Find out what happened. And let's face it, the person, I'm sure the air traffic controllers feel horrible. If it turns out that the pilot's negligence here, well, the pilot's dead. What are you going to do then? Who are you going to fire then? That's why firing people isn't the most effective thing all the time. If you fire someone, that means that they basically, that's where the conversation ends. Jim, they can be subpoenaed to court and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Now you're get subpoenaed on for an investigation. And what happens? What happens? Well, guess what? Now you're lawyered up. Well, you know, you have immunity. But you're lawyered up. You're never going to be able to capture that information again. So you got to keep them on the payroll, at least temporarily, if there is a near miss. And again, if there is a near miss, that means that, hey, everything worked the way that we were supposed to. All the controls are in place and it wasn't an accident. But let's see what happened here so we can improve it. Now, the next thing, they're behind on technology. Yeah, no crap. It was in an unrelated case. The Social Security Administration is working on 30-year-old, 40-year-old computer programs, is my understanding. With this, never updated them. Why doesn't the government ever update this crap? I mean, I hear stories all the way going back to the mid-1990s with computers and technology and the DOD and the air traffic controllers with this crap. I've known a couple over the years. I've known a couple of people. We'll say on the very high end of DOD contracts with computers. Why? Because, we just know. Basically, when Terminator 3 Judgment Day came out, I was talking to somebody who worked in the military. I said, is that like true? Is that crap true? He says, maybe. And he winked at me and he was like, yeah. There's a place like that in Terminator 3 Judgment Day where they're on the Air Force Base. We have places like that, yes. I'm not going to tell you what they do there, what they're tracking, but there are places like that. I was like, okay. And he was even saying, those places are really advanced for their computers, but not anywhere else in the military. They don't have the highest-end equipment. And on top of that, they're low bidder. So you get what you get with that. And that was 30 years ago. And they're saying one report since 2017, they've been talking about this upgrading stuff and blah, 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 blah. With that, I don't know. So the fact that we don't have all these other things is a proof of the resiliency of the system, the capacity of the system. Every once in a while, it fails, right? And again, who's building that Jenga block? Is it one situation, one person? Or is, I don't know. And that's what I have to say on that. It counts for us as well as everybody else. Let's go here. And here we go.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Fire extinguisher, spark of desire. Emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard hat and real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged, our hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
Anyway, here we go. There was, hold on here. Yes, thank you, thank you.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's Safety Today.
Okay, this is out of Tinley Park, Illinois. Tinley Park officials addressed the OSHA administration's recent citations against a demolition contractor during a news conference on Tuesday. The citations stem from safety violations noted related to lead exposure during demolition work at the former Tinley Park Mental Health Center. At no point was the community at risk. So I went and I looked this up. So they started a demo there, and the demolition of the long abandoned Tinley Park Mental Health Center is a key step in broader redevelopment efforts. Crews began tearing down structures in January with buildings. This is from Fox 32, by the way. With 47 buildings set to be removed, asbestos has been cleared, trash has been all the way. The Tinley Park District called Tuesday press conference, a political stunt pack with false information. The district said OSHA visited the site on October 24th, responding to an anonymous complaint and determined that safety precautions for workers needed to be changed. The contractor responded on the spot according to the Park District and put the safety precautions in. So apparently, according to this news report, you know, According to the news report, the things were abated on site during the inspection. The park district obtained this site for $1 to finally clean it up and be responsible stewards of the state grant funding to pay for the cleanup. This press conference was nothing more than sour grapes from an administration that was unable to clean up the site. Talking about the new one. The fact that is that multiple layers of government are overseeing this project, including one county, state, and federal level, through site visits, permitting, and routine documentation reporting for the government's review. Any claim otherwise is a lie. Contrary to the accusations made today, the General Assembly removed the village's oversight and allowed the state and federal agencies with expertise to step in. Over the past year, the park, Tinley Park Police allegedly has refused to respond to incidents of vandalism, and the village has always opposed our cleanup efforts, and without the help of our legislators to acquire a $15 million grant, we would not have been able to clean the site. So, hard to tell here who is... So it must be the, right, they're saying the other side, but they're not really saying who. Now, this is what the problem is. I can tell you that I have been on lead-based paint projects, removal projects, that are managed by the government. And it's always the same problem that comes up. It is called sovereign immunity. What do they do if they don't do their job? What happens to them? Not a whole hell of a lot. So, I looked up the inspection here, and apparently it has not hit the OSHA website here yet on here. So, one, right, with that, oh, case closed. Here we got another one. Inspection. There's a complaint. Case open. And we got... Now, the reports are not in here, but they were lead-related. So let's talk about that. What do you mean they're lead-related? Right. So this has not been updated yet, the website, for this. So we're talking in construction and demolition. It is 29 CFR 1926.62, lead. What normally, I'm not saying this is what happened here, but normally what do I see? Lack of containment. Lack of, and they said it was abated on the spot. Okay. I don't know, you know, it could have had to be something to do with containment and waste removal with this. And now, if it, everything was cleaned up on site and everything, often what happens is state licensing. What are the state licensing requirements for Illinois? Probably in there. So, we can't, are probably pretty strict, and with this job, they probably had licensed people here and trained people. It's just a matter of enforcing the rules. I've been on a lot of these jobs where we've had trained and licensed people. They don't enforce the rules. Who's they? The companies. So I get hired to enforce them with that. The other thing that they screw up on are fit testing and air sampling and... for the fit testing for the respirators, air sampling, and following the respiratory standard. Those are the things I normally see with lead. Like I said, it's usually containment along the lines of air sampling. So I don't see, if it's something like that, I really don't see them being able to abate that on the spot. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That's what's happening, guys. And I don't know. That's what I got for today. So what's going on with David Keeling is the executive nominated for to head OSHA with that from, and he was at Amazon. And I don't see any update to his vote. Let's see. Let me just Google this. Really hasn't been any updates from our last thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens here with this. Here, let's try this. I throw it into AI. Was David Keeling voted by the Senate. As of March 11, David Keeling's nomination is served as Assistant Secretary of Labor for the OSHA. It's pending Senate confirmation. President Trump nominated Keeling on February 11th, and the nomination was referred to the Senate Committee on Health, Education, and Pensions. As of now, no confirmation hearings have been scheduled. That's not true. Because we... Didn't we have that last week? Yeah, I think so. So, with that. But we'll see where it goes with this. I think they did have it. But didn't we have that program last week? I don't know. Programs are running together, folks. So, hold on. All right. So, Keith Sonderling... So they did not have any, that's right, Keith Sonderling they had on there. And that we had his complete testimony on this show. You can look back on our March 4th, 2025 testimony of Keith Sonderling, nominee for Deputy Secretary of Labor. We'll find out with that. When we has it, I'm going to post it. I mean, it's all non-copyrighted, so... what's Keith Sonderling doing? Hold on, let's do that. Keith Sonderling votes. He was voted out of committee approval on there. And here we go. This is from jdspura.com. March 10th, 2025, Lori Chavez was voted on. Oh, here we go. Keith Sonderling, Deputy Secretary with the Business Focus Agenda. Keith Sonderling, a former Equal Opportunity Employee Commission Vice Chair, will serve as Deputy Secretary of Labor with experience in labor law and business regulation. So apparently they both got approved. So pretty cool. With that. So it's not only Secretary of Labor, but her deputy got approved also. Looks good. Maybe we get in there next time. I don't know. They are listening to the show, though. I will say that. But somebody is, because a lot of what we say here is ending up on in the Congressional Record. So that's all I got for today, and I look forward to being back here, God willing, tomorrow. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.